you need to cater your solution to what is the client's goal. And if you have to, let's say, fit your code to match that solution, you should do it, not the other way around. You shouldn't have your code set the boundaries for your solution. You should have your solution set the boundaries for your code. That's the way I believe in.
Hello all, this is another episode of Meet the Innovators, and today I'm very happy to talk to Luis. Luis, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Fine. Thanks for the invitation. Just from the get-go, I would like to thank you for having the opportunity to share my story. What about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and obviously thank you for accepting the invitation. Right, so could you tell us a few sentences about yourself, about who you are as a person?
So my name is Luis. I'm Portuguese. I live in Porto, live here all my life. I'm 28 years old, and I've been working in the IT for the last 5 years. I've joined IT Imagination 6 months ago, and it's been a good ride for now.
Mm-hmm. So you have, for a bit of context, I have four stories about you in front of my eyes, and there are three true ones, and there is one lie, and I'm going to try to guess which one is a lie. Right, so the stories that I have in front of my eyes are: A, I was torn between studying engineering and music in university. This seems plausible. I jumped from more than five waterfalls. What are some waterfalls in Europe? Maybe there are some small ones and they're like tiny ones, and then you count them as waterfalls. All right, I don't know. I don't know if that's a yes or a no, but I'll. Option C, I visited more than 25 countries. Well, Europe is pretty easy to do that, because in the EU there are what, 24 countries alone? Like, only in the EU there are 24 countries, or 28. Yeah, this is probably true, yeah. I went to Germany to study through Erasmus program and went back to Portugal in a few days. You know, life happens, so I'm going to say that this is also true. Right, so, well, the odd one out, the one sentence that doesn't fit is A. So you did not want to study music, I'm guessing, and you did jump from more than five waterfalls.
I wanted to give you a trap, so sort of saying, yeah, because, and also introduce a little bit about this, because obviously it's not so easy to visit Europe when you live in the far west, the continent. And yeah, I actually haven't visited 25 countries. I am not so far from it. I think I'm around 16 or 17, something like that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. I'll start visiting more countries, and the past 2 years wasn't the best time to do so, but this year I'll still go to at least three new ones, so that's good. So yeah, I was torn between studying music and engineering. It was more of a safe choice to try and follow engineering, because I obviously still enjoyed that aspect of things. Music was like a little bit more of the passion side. I've started studying music and playing since I was 4 years old, so it was always a passion for me. But I had to have the decision on having a little bit of a safe net, or just go all in on music. And yeah, I decided to go through engineering, and I don't regret it till now. So, and the last one, or the jump the five plus waterfalls. Yeah, there are a lot of 10-meter waterfalls in the north of Portugal, in like a hilly, rocky wild forest, let's say, that we have in the north of Portugal, and they have a lot of smaller rivers, and that was a little bit of a thrown off, and I actually really enjoy walking into nature and camping and all those sorts of things. And yeah, that I went to study in my like 2011 to no 2016 to Germany, and it was going to be a full year program. But I went there and I didn't have a, let's say, a high level of German understanding. So when I went there and I thought, or actually the from my university, they told me that the course was going to be mainly in English, and I went there and everything from like every book, every class, everything on the documentation that I had to study was in fully German. I was pretty scared of just basically missing 1 year out. And yeah, in like a 5-6 days, I just said, can I still go back to my university and complete it? Yeah, sure. And I went back to Portugal, or I came back to Portugal and continued the studies.
Well, that was, I mean, at least you got to see Germany, I guess.
Yeah, right? It was a cool time still. It was a almost a week trip, so it was good.
Yeah. So I will sum up this experience through a pun. Your story is sad, and sad backwards is das, und das ist nicht gut. So, yes. Yeah, ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch, but this interview is in English, so.
Yeah, sure. Let's move on, it's better.
Sadly, will not have an opportunity to showcase my brilliant German, which isn't brilliant at all. Nevertheless, are you a morning bird?
Oh, I actually am not. I actually prefer to be more of a night owl. So early meetings and things like that are sort of a little bit not the easiest for me, let's say. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So then, how is working for us from Portugal? Because you've said there is a 1 hour difference, which isn't that much. But then, how is it?
Yeah, it's not that difficult. I basically when we have the daily meeting with the guys in the team, it's already 9 o'clock in Portugal, because we set up that time also better to be, I'd say, easier for me to attend. So it's where I start my job. So for me, or my work that day is, so basically for me is my stand-up meeting before I do mostly anything on work related. The guys are already working for a bit, but yeah, it is good, because some sort of things I can, and I also leave later. So there's some things that I normally tend to do while they are out, and I just leave for them to start the day the next morning, and we can regroup on the daily meeting. So yeah, no problem with the arrangements on time zone till now.
I see. So you just stay 1 hour longer for them, and for you that's just, you know, finishing up work normally. Have you found some similarities between the people in Portugal and in Poland? Because, well, let's leave one surprise for later. But have you found any similarities so far working with your team that is mainly Polish, I understand?
Yeah, more than half of the team is Polish. I think that the best thing is that I don't see many differences. So I think that is the main similarity, because I can't tell who is from where, whichever country. Is everybody that I'm working with, Polish people, is very welcoming and didn't have any problem adapting to anything from like a time zone difference, or didn't have any issue with trying to get the correct pronunciation of my name, things like that. And they don't get bothered when I completely butcher Polish names, which are not the easiest for outsiders to pronounce. And it's been great till now. A lot more similarities than differences, I would say.
Right. So you disagree with the statement that Polish people are cold?
Yeah, we actually have that saying, not related to Polish people, but everything which is on the eastern side of Europe. it's very common to have it, hear it say that everybody there is cold or is not welcoming and it doesn't really relate to outsiders. And I haven't had that, even when we have the times during our outside of work, let's say, calls to know each other. Nobody's, let's say, distant in terms of like personal relationships or trying to get each other's better outside of the of work related things. So yeah, I haven't had that idea that it, for me, it's basically a myth only.
Right. So do you have some Teams happy hours or?
Yeah, some sort. Yeah, some sort of it. It's like a team building fun call, I'd say.
All right.
It takes normally it's on a Friday afternoon, end of the afternoon, to try and get to know a little bit more about each other. It's all.
Oh.
Sort of trying to get a little bit of that office vibe to the team, right? When you're in the office, you're not always talking about work, so we still have that time.
Oh, I have to admit that I'm not very an office person, and in fact, if I don't have to come to the office, I probably won't. But I know that some people are coming a lot to the office. Actually, I know people that do it regularly. I know people that haven't been to the office yet. And so, you know, like you're honestly, it's quite all right with you not being here. But yeah, you're totally right. Like people in the office don't, you know, water cooler conversations, right?
Yeah.
And the little bit of a surprise that I was keeping from the audience until now is that your story with Poland did not start yesterday. Or
yeah.
Did it?
No, I actually visited Poland when I was 17, around 17, 18 years old. I was there in like a exchange program between schools from my district and Krakow district. And yeah, I went to stay in Krakow for close to a couple of weeks. It was basically 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. How did you find Krakow?
Oh, it was beautiful. I don't know a lot more about Poland because it was mainly staying there in the outskirts of of Krakow. I found it like really historically beautiful. There are some modern, let's say, cities in Europe. I found Krakow more historically beautiful rather than new. I don't know if I'm completely butchering and everything is from the last century. But yeah, I found it very, very beautiful. And it actually resembled a little bit of my home city because it's not the biggest. If you travel to Europe capitals, you see huge cities that are overcrowded with people everywhere and you try to find a place to eat and it's completely booked everywhere. And I didn't find that in Krakow. It was complete. Very welcoming in that sense as well, because it wasn't completely full of people everywhere visiting everything. And yeah, that was one of the things that I still keep close to heart, because I actually stayed with a Polish family because it was an exchange program. So basically I had a Polish, two Polish students came to my house and then I came to their house in Poland and stayed with their parents, with a colleague from my school, another Portuguese student, basically. It was a very entertaining time, let's say, because they didn't speak much English. So when they had the oldest daughter being there and being able to translate, it was easier, let's say. But yeah, Google Translate was not the same as it is today, but it was still capable at that time. And we've had a lot of evening dinners at, with a computer in the middle and translating things. And we got some Polish words and they learned some Portuguese words. And yeah, it was very cool.
I'm going to just take a second to say, dear Krakow, the capital sends their regards. right. So, you know, as Google Translate is improving every year, you are improving because you want to pursue the best version of yourself. Is that so?
Yeah, I'm trying to always stay in touch with what's new. Obviously, very much related with my area of expertise. I am a data consultant, so more related to business intelligence. And I obviously try to be more engaged with that side of things, anything related to data engineering, data science, machine learning. Yeah, those sorts of things. I try to be up to date with everything. Obviously, nowadays everybody knows that it's kind of hard. Yeah, trying to get the most of the newest things, try to see where it can fit what we are developing every day, try to get the client as rich as possible in terms of data quality. And yeah, I would say that's the main goal, as everybody that should be the main goal, as everybody that tries to be up to date on everything that is IT related.
Yes, the methodology and the ways of, as you've said, making the client as rich as possible, which is quite nicely put, I would say, quite concisely put, right? The methodology is always changing, right? So you need to stay on top of changes. But it's all, like, we could sit and talk about, you know, different algorithms and ways of delivering value and ways of preparing analysis, but it's, at the end of the day, it's only a tool, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually have that in my mind a lot of times, that any type of technical need, any code related development, it's a tool to try and fit a goal. It's not a goal. I don't develop anything in terms of software to be technically beautiful, let's say, and have the code to be the most updated, or I would say that the most technically following the best practices as possible. Obviously, there are best practices that need to be followed everywhere, but it's not the end goal. It's not to have that. You need to cater your solution to what is the client's goal. And if you have to, let's say, fit your code to match that solution, you should do it, not the other way around. You shouldn't have your code set the boundaries for your solution. You should have your solution set the boundaries for your code. That's the way I believe in.
Are you a couch potato?
I actually can't be that much of a couch potato because my body doesn't let me. When I have like 2 weeks without training anything, I basically start to feel bad. It's true. And start to feel ill and things like that. So I basically have practiced sport all my sport, any kind of sports all my life. I started with swimming. I then added to handball, and I practiced handball for 10 plus years. And for the last 5 years, I've done CrossFit, and it's like a daily escape from being in front of the computer or in front of any type of monitor all day. Because if I just went from my office to the living room and just started watching series on Netflix or any movie, I would just be staring at another monitor. So it's like a spa at the end of the day, when I can just leave everything out and go enjoy sweating and pulling some weights and talking with friends. So
Do you have a standing desk then?
I actually have just acquired it in the, in the last month or so, to change a little bit in terms of the posture, because being sit all day through 8 or something hours, it's not the best approach, I would say. So
agreed.
Yeah, I actually have it.
So you bought it 5 months after joining the company, or is my math off?
Yeah, something like that, I would say. Yeah.
Right. So because 5 months ago you joined our company, which is the beginning of your adventure with us, and you're working ever since then, but well, there were some changes in terms of projects, right? Or how was it exactly?
So when I joined in December, and I started, because I feel like they enjoyed my profile, let's say. I started with not a given project, let's say. So I started in the bench. I had like a, yeah, during all December, I was focusing in getting new certifications, passing some exams, very related to the technologies that I am still working with every day, and trying to get some time off, let's say, on project cycle, because I was in that project cycle before coming in. And I, obviously, you have some time to learn, but if you have a couple of weeks with full time to do so, you obviously improve a lot as well. So I had that time to improve my skills, learn something new, get some certificates, some exams. And then the beginning of this year, I joined my current project. And has been running for the last 5 months with me. It has more than 1 year with IT Imagination. So yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning of your work, or even before you began work here. Could you walk me through, how was the recruitment process and what were the steps? Sure. And how did it all go? And obviously, sure. Congratulations on succeeding.
Thank you. So I was actually approached by a IT Imagination recruiter using LinkedIn. I've never heard of the company, I'll be honest. I know some companies that are that operate in Portugal, but it's not the case of IT Imagination. So I was intrigued, let's say, from the beginning to learn a little bit more about the company. And I really liked, because it was, the approach was very straight to the point. It was not like we possibly can have something that suits you. If you want to have a talk, like normal things, we can have a talk for the 30 minutes, try to learn a little bit more about you. It was like very much like we have like 3 or 4 open vacancies. Sent me the job descriptions of all of them. This is the expected salary for your seniority that we are talking about, or your expected rate. If you have any doubt in terms of having a B2B contract, just reach me. Yeah, and it was very straight to the point, very helpful. I was always working as in a employee contract. Normal contract, let's say, in Portugal. I never had a B2B contract, or was working as a in these terms of employment. So it actually helped a lot during the process, trying to understand what I was going to be needing to have this sort of employment status, let's say, and these terms of terms of financial needs and all sorts of things that I had to deal with beforehand, before joining ITM. And the recruiter was very helpful during that process. And actually, because I was in my last company since I started working for more than 4 years, I actually had some time that I was already as a working with a lot of projects. I had some time more than I talked about in the as a notice period, and she was really welcoming on that. She was never rushing me to take a decision, so it was a very pleasing series of opportunities or series of talks with her. We've had a couple of mobile calls, so it was great.
Yeah, I had a very similar experience, and I also enjoyed that the salary was, given up front. It's just, you have an opportunity to make between, initially between this much and this much, and, I don't know how is it in Portugal, but it's quite nice here to do it. Not every company does it.
Same thing in Portugal, because it sort of feels like something that is even in closed doors, when it should be one of the things that he said up front, because it's obviously it's not the only important thing, but it's one of the important things, right?
Yeah.
So obviously. You need to take that into consideration. What's the point of having a very big talk, have a 1 hour conversation just to know each other, and you let me know that the salary expectation is very low compared to what I am expecting. So a little bit of a waste time.
Yeah, it's about, respecting one another, I feel like. You respect me, I respect you, and...
Honest.
I would say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it, so... And I can also tell you we don't use any bots, so that's why you had a very upfront first contact. It wasn't like, hey, maybe we would have something if you were, interested, and... Luis, right? Because it's Luis, not Luis, like I initially said. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem with that. Yeah, it's more of a sh sound at the end, but
it's easier. I learned Spanish when I was in all the way until middle school, the end of middle school. So sorry for that. But anyway, yeah, thanks for talking to me. And I think this is going to be a record for the length of a talk. So congratulations to us, I guess, and thanks a lot for talking to me.
Thank you for the invitation once again. It was a pleasure.
Indeed, and have a great day, and best of luck, Luis, then.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Cheers. Bye.